Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everyone here today. Wow, that was great, choir. I love that. And I love the opening. Let's just praise the Lord. That's definitely what we've come for today. If we've come for any other reason, we've come for the wrong reason. So, beautiful job. I appreciate them for doing that. I hope as we enter into this week of Thanksgiving, I know a lot of folks are with their families even today, and we hope they have a happy Thanksgiving, and I hope all of you do is whenever you spend time with your family or whatever you do for this Thanksgiving season, that we'll take time and certainly be thankful for all that God has done for us. Again, good to see everyone. If you're visiting with us today, glad to have you. I'm going to ask you if you would please stand. Everyone, please stand. These ladies are going to play for us and take a moment and shake hands with someone seated around you, if you would, please. Thank you, ladies, for playing for us this morning. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 20. Very fitting verse is all I'm going to read, just one for this service this morning. But I did do something. I want to take a moment of time. I gave a little handout to all of the younger children in the church during Sunday school, and I asked them a couple of questions, and I wanted to see what their response was. I'll tell you what the questions were, and you can listen to this. Said, first of all, I'm going to tell you what the questions are because I'm not going to read them every time, okay? I asked them who the best cook was, either dad, mom, or grandmother. And then I asked them if they liked green bean casseroles. Then I asked them what their favorite dessert was. And then I, of course, asked them what they were thankful for. So this first one here, who's the best cook? It's mom. Do you like green bean casserole? No. What's your favorite dessert? Birthday cheesecake. And what are you thankful for? My everything. The best cook, mom. Green bean casserole, no. Favorite dessert, chocolate cheesecake. Most thankful for, mom. Best cook, dad. Do you like green bean casserole? This one's a yes. And I didn't have them to put their names on there. Favorite dessert, ice cream. What are you most thankful for? Everything. Who's the best cook? Mom. Do you like green bean casserole? No. Most thankful for their family. Best cook, mom. Do you like green bean casserole? Yes. What's your favorite dessert? I like this. Big Hershey's. What are you most thankful for? My family. Who's the best cook? Grandmother. Well, I'm going to have to go with that one right there. Do you like green bean casserole? No. Favorite dessert? Hershey's. We got a lot of Hershey's kids in here. What are you most thankful for? Your dog. Who's the best cook? Grandmother. Green bean casserole? No. And they just put a bunch of question marks for their favorite dessert. So I guess they like everything, maybe. What are you most thankful for? Your video game. Who's the best cook? Dad. Do you like green bean casserole? No. What's your favorite dessert? Carnival chocolate melt cake. I'm coming to your house for Thanksgiving. That sounds pretty good. What are you most thankful for? God, family, and shelter. Who's the best cook? Mom. Do you like green bean casserole? No. What's your favorite dessert? Peanut butter casserole. Sounds different. Might even be good. It's got peanut butter in it. It can't be bad. What are you most thankful for? God. Who's the best cook? Grandmother. Do you like green bean casserole? No. And what's your favorite dessert? Buttermilk pie. Well, you know grandmother had to be the best cook if buttermilk pie is her favorite dessert. Which I like buttermilk pie too. What are you most thankful for? my family and friends. Who's the best cook? Grandmother. No to the green bean casserole. Favorite dessert, brownies, and most thankful for family and friends. Okay, I think it's safe to say that moms and grandmothers win the cooking award. You can skip the green bean casseroles in the future, folks. The generation coming on are just not going for it. I appreciate that, and thank you, the Sunday school teachers that let me do that. I just always like to know what our children are thinking. And children are so honest in things, and I just love to hear from them. So I hope you don't mind me doing that. In Ephesians chapter number 5, this is just one verse, and I don't even have a watch on today because this is going to be a short sermon, okay? But it's in chapter number 5 of the book of Ephesians, and it's verse number 20. And this is what Paul writes to the Ephesian people. And it really goes through a long list of duties and things that these people should be about and how they should live their life. But he makes this statement, and it's very appropriate for Thanksgiving time. And as I said last week, Thanksgiving is very important, but we should always remember all the time to be thankful, that we don't just come to a particular season or a particular time of the year and think, oh yeah, you know what, now's the time that I need to be thankful and I need to thank God. Every single day of our lives, we need to be thankful. We need to instill in our children the importance of being thankful for all of the provisions and everything that God makes and God does for us all the time, not just one particular time out of the year. So Paul said this in that 5th chapter and 20th verse. He said, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's pretty simple, pretty self-explanatory. But I want to go back and tell you just something real quickly so you understand what happened to these people, this Ephesian church, this church at Ephesus. Okay, this is a church that the Apostle Paul starts on one of his second missionary journeys. You could look in Acts chapter number 18 and read about it. Paul goes into Ephesus place and has these converts there. And so they start a church there. Church gets started because of Paul's journey, and he plants a church in Ephesus, and then that's along about 52 AD, and then along about 54, somewhere 54, 56 AD, then Paul comes back, and it's just a chapter on over in the book of Acts. Paul comes back to Ephesus, and he spends several years there, okay? He stays there with those people. One of his longest tenures that he stays anywhere in any one place is there at Ephesus, and he stays with those people for several years, teaching them in the city, building that church up, making that church stronger in hopes that they would be a church that would continue for many years to come. Then maybe within a year's time frame, you go on a little bit further in the book of Acts, and Paul has this meeting with the elders, and it's his farewell that he speaks to them. And he gives them a lot of instruction and gives them a lot of encouragement, but it's one of the last times that Paul is going to speak with these people in person like that. So he's there to give these people these elders of that church, to give them a lot of encouragement and to give them guidance, to give them help, that they would continue on to be a very strong church. But then, along about 96 AD, okay, so we're just looking at a little bit over 40 years. This church is only 40 years old, and problems has come along. You remember the churches that John writes to in the book of Revelations. Ephesus is one of the churches that he writes to. What was their problem? What had happened at that church? He tells them very plainly. You've left your first love. And then if you go on a little bit further, and you won't find this in the Bible, this would just be a historical thing, along by the second century, along about 200 A.D., this church is no longer in existence. It's gone. What about that? That's amazing, isn't it? I think it is. Sad, but it's a very true story in what happened to a church that lost and left their first love. And Paul had given them a lot of instructions how to be a good church and how to be a strong church. And one of the things that he had left them with, and the thing that I read to you today and would say to all of us, the importance of always being a church that is thankful. Perhaps that was one of the things. There's no telling what acts of apostasy. Many things could have come in. False doctrine, whatever, could have come in and disturbed that body of believers. We don't really know exactly why this church was dissolved and is no more. But something happened somewhere along the way. Out of all these great instructions that Paul leaves for this church there, they still didn't make it. And any church that fails to show gratitude is going to have a struggle in it. So that's why I say to you and I today that we should be thankful. And Paul then says in this, so bringing it to you and I today, because we see the backdrop of what was going on in their time and in their day, and when we bring it to you and I, he tells them to give thanks for all things. Now I want you to think about that for just a moment. In life, give thanks for all things. Well, it's very easy. Do you know what? It's very easy. Like, you walk outside today and you look up at that beautiful blue sky and you see the sun and you see a Christmas in the air, and it's a nice day. And it's so easy to say, Lord, I thank you for this beautiful day that you have given us today. We all do stuff like that, right? Sure we do. We all would say thanks, thank you, Lord, for a beautiful day that you've given us like today. Or it's very easy when things are going well within our family and there's no problems there and the children are behaving and everything is just working like it should. It's very easy to look at your family and say, God, I thank you, Lord, for this family that I have. I thank you for my family. Those are things that are very, very easy to be thankful for. When your health is good and there's nothing wrong with you in life, it is very easy to say, God, thank you, Lord, for good health. Thank you that I'm able to go and I'm able to do this and I'm able to do that. It's very easy to be thankful for things like that. But when's the last time you ever heard somebody say, God, thank you for that storm last night. Thank you for that electrical cloud and storm that we had last night. You ever thank the Lord for that? Should you? Got you thinking, haven't I? Well, actually, you should. You know, God knew what he was doing, and he set everything in order. Don't ask me to scientifically explain this to you or nothing, but electrical storms create nitrogen that actually fertilizes the ground. So you can thank God for the electrical storms that come along. Or, you know, we talked about, thank you, God, for a beautiful day. Have you ever thought about, God, thank you, Lord, for nighttime? When do you ever hear anybody say, Lord? Now remember what Paul is saying. In all things, in everything, be thankful. Has anybody ever said, Lord, thank you for nighttime? You ever heard anybody say that? Why do you think God divided the day in the way that he did? Do you think it was for his benefit or for our benefit? It's for our benefit. It sure is. That's the way God designed it. That's the way God planned it, so that you and I would be able to rest. That's why so many people, you ever hear somebody say, oh no, it's a full moon coming up. Why does people dread a full moon? It's so light outside, you know. They just get antsy and afraid, you know, oh my goodness, I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight. It's a full moon. But so you and I, we ought to be able to thank God for everything. And Paul tells those people that, and the Bible is telling you and I today to be thankful for all things. Yes, that's even when the electrical storms come along. That's even when nighttime comes. Now, it's real hard, though, to be thankful. You know, somebody say, well, preacher, in all things. Now think about, and then one place he says, in another passage, he says, give thanks in all circumstances. In other words, he is saying, whatever comes along in your life, stop and give thanks for it. And I know that when you think about the fallen world that you and I live in, and we see so many things happen, and sometimes things happen in our own life, and you think, how in the world can I be thankful for something like that? That's tragic. How could I find a way to be thankful for that? Well, this is what I would tell you, is that God always sees you through the tragic times. So when they come along, and also tragic times in our lives, whether we realize it or not, and by all means, nobody wants to wish those things on people, but tragic times in our lives are faith builders. They really are. The times that we struggle in life, and the times that come along that may be so difficult for us in life sometimes, are really the things that builds our faith and makes us stronger and makes us realize just how much more that we really, truly do need to bow our knees and bow our head and say, thank you, God, for everything. It's tough sometimes, though, isn't it? It's tough to... tough to be thankful with a gallbladder problem. that's a tough thing to be thankful for, but when you had it removed and everything was all right, you was thankful for God that we have physicians and doctors that's able to do things like that. So Paul just simply said, give thanks always for all things. And I said that this morning to say, to really stop and get us to really think about the simple things of life that you and I should be thankful for. So it's so easy to see the big picture of things and look at them and think that those are the things that we ought to be most thankful for. I wonder in Ephesus there when the church was getting started, I wonder what they looked around and when Paul said, be thankful for all things, and look at what they were facing. We know for a fact, early church faces a lot of persecution, a lot of difficult times. They didn't have the freedom to come and assemble like you and I do. They did, but there was a lot of persecution behind that out of Rome and everything. So that was a very, very much challenging for those people in that day. So it's hard to sometimes realize how thankful we should be for just the simple things of life. But we really should be. We should be thankful today that you and I, as a body of believers, that we're able to come together just like we are today and with our brothers and sisters in Christ and worship together. And we should be thankful today that God has permitted us and given us the wonderful opportunity to just praise the Lord. I mean, that's what it's all about when we come to worship today. Is that we just praise the Lord. So give thanks for all things, always. And he said, do it in the name of the Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest thing that any of us today have to be thankful for is our salvation. You know, I love all the things that the children had to say that they were thankful for, and I can fully identify with those things, and you can too. And those are good things to be thankful for. But be thankful most of all that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because that is the most important thing that you will ever be thankful for. That's what the writer said, to be thankful that your name is written there. Be thankful that you are a child of God. Be thankful that you know what salvation is. And you know what? Be thankful in the fact that you know that you come to a church and a place of worship where that these children, that you may look at some of these things and think, see the humorous side of it, and that's okay. But someday, what we want one of these days is for those children to realize that the greatest thing that they have to be thankful for in their life is their salvation. And so we thank God today that we have a place that we know that God's Word will always be presented to them, and they'll have that opportunity. I told you it was going to be short, and it is. God bless you this morning is my prayer. If you're here today and you've never come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, if you've never trusted Him as Lord and Savior in your life, we want to give you that opportunity while we stand together and sing a hymn of invitation this morning.